It's the list and your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, it is the list and your boy. I don't know what the hell number we're on. It's a lot. We've done a lot of these. It is November 17th. I've got Jimmy Van here. We are brought to you by twitter.com/DestinyFomo, our good friend up there. I think she's going to be at Survivor Series this weekend. Say hi to her. If you see her, don't be a creep. Don't be a weirdo. That would be very cool. But check her out. She likes wrestling, video games, all kinds of cool stuff. twitter.com/DestinyFomo. I actually got one of her shirts this week. Very excited about that. But I'm excited to talk to you people. All you people as well. I didn't also leave a thumbs up, subscribe, tap the bell for notifications. We've got super chats on YouTube, but we prefer that you go to humperchats.com. That is our Streamlabs link that lets us keep a little bit more of that money. You know what I'm saying? So head over to humperchats.com. Either one will get your question or statement read on the air. But one of the benefits is we've got three already, Jimmy, because people can leave these if they can't watch them live. If they can't watch it live, you can leave something for us to read on the air. So pretty neat, almost as neat as having interviews with Switchblade Jay White and, you know, Ethan Page and Lady Frost and Drew McIntyre, all of which will happen and have happened.
I'm going to get you a Humper Chats overlay.
Ooh.
Gonna do that. That'll be a nice little thing. I had no idea Destiny was such a tiny little thing. I saw a picture.
Oh, yeah, she is. She's very tiny.
I saw a picture she posted, and this is gonna surprise you. This will surprise you. She posted a picture with a guy from the video game world, and I actually recognized him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe he calls himself like video game Jesus or something.
I don't know him.
Okay, but I actually recognized him because I have a couple old school consoles, and he's really good at providing information about some of the old school stuff. Mm-hmm. So I recognized him. So she posted a picture with him, and she made him look like Andre the Giant. And yeah. I saw the picture, and I thought, I didn't realize that dude was that big. And then I realized, oh, wait a second. That's what it is. So that's
cool. So, I mean, she posted a picture, Jimmy, with me. You know how tall I am.
Yes, you're huge, Sean. You're huge.
I am. Yeah. But support Destiny FOMO. She's a wonderful gal. So show her some love as well, but show us some love with all these Humper Chats. Joseph Corey sent one. Also, if you join YouTube, I think you get occasional free super chats. Joseph Corey says, shout out to Fightful and SRS for being the best. Well, thank you all for being the best. Our Fightful Select numbers are climbing back up, and we greatly appreciate that. Right now, right before I went on the air, I had a story about that longstanding rumor that went around about AEW being asked by TNT and Warner Media to only have one women's match on their show. I got some clarification on that. How about this? Some 2K22 news today. I had injury updates on, well, sort of an injury update, a little bit of heat backstage on an AEW wrestler on Fightful Select. So, man, those AEW weekends caused some AEW scoop skis, that's for sure. But support FightfulSelect.com as well. It's a good time over there.
Has the Drew interview happened yet? Did you do that today?
I did the interview. It will run Friday. We're gonna post. We're posting some notes on Select as well. That's a nice perk that we give our Fightful Select subscribers as well. They get all of our exclusive information before anybody else.
Cool. And Sean Ross Sapp, the traveling man, he just got back from Minneapolis, and now he's turning back around and heading out to North Carolina this weekend. What a just globetrotter you are, Sean.
Also, I guilted WWE into giving me that Drew interview. I hit him up and I was like, hey, you guys never told me when this scrum was going to be, or this junket was going to be Saturday, so I'm not coming in, which personally, probably a good thing. I'm not going to travel this weekend, but they're like, well, we told you a couple months ago we were going to have one, and they did. But I said, hey, how about you all throw somebody my way? And they did. They gave me Drew McIntyre, very happy. Also, for all the crap WWE got or gets, somebody from their department called me yesterday, had some very kind words for me. I want to thank them for that. That was very nice of them. But yeah, it's weird, Jimmy. this this nice relationship with WWE is weird, because on one side I got people saying, you shit on WWE too much. Yeah. You shit on WWE way too much. Then on the other side, I got people saying, access journalism. You give them favorable coverage to get these WWE interviews. Then I got people saying, oh, well, you're only nice to AEW because you want that access. We've had two interviews this year, just so you all know.
Man. I still have fond flashbacks to my legal battle with them over the over whatever the heck that was you got, timesheets or something.
One day, I still do. Still do. Yeah. I mean, we've been not running how I ran them then, but for a long time I said, you know, I still have access to these, and some people thought that I didn't, but I do. We run some of them on FightfulSelect.com now to some degree, but there is a distinct difference between subjective entertainment, as in what do I enjoy within the context of the program, objective news reporting, which is report the news without any slant to it.
Yeah.
Then talking about that news here on this show, like, I understand that entertainment is definitely a wild conundrum in that sense.
Right, right. Well, let's start with Survivor Series because it's this Sunday at Barclays. We don't need to go over the lineup. Fightful.com or YouTube.com/Fightful. I think Sean did a preview, so you can see all the matchups there. But there's a couple things I want to talk about. First and foremost, I read this today on social media. So that means that it might not be true, but you might have heard about it. Apparently, Randy Orton is going to break the record for the most pay-per-view matches by a single wrestler at the Survivor Series. Apparently, he and Kane are tied at 176 pay-per-view matches wow. each. And apparently, Survivor Series, Randy Orton is going to break the record and go to 177. I can believe it because he's been around for a very long time and he hasn't taken a ton of time off, you know, over the last like 20 years. So I can believe it, and good for him for his longevity. I mean, he's in his 40s now. He's still in great shape.
Got three more years left on that deal, too.
And he seems to still really dig it. You know what I mean?
This is like Steph Curry. Like, this year, next year, he's going to set the three-point record, and he's got years left in the tank.
Right.
Randy Orton's going to smash this record. And Kane is a guy who was around for 25, 26 years. I mean, I don't know if he did any as Isaac Yankem DDS, but I know he did maybe the Royal Rumble or something, but I know he did some as the fake Diesel as well. So, I mean, he had like a good long 20, 25 years to do this.
For sure.
Orton's already at 19 and he is going to obliterate that record.
Yep. For sure. For sure. Well, right now, as we speak here on November 17, there are two open slots on the men's and women's Survivor Series teams. Are they just going to fill those on SmackDown on Friday, or do you think they're going to do like a surprise at the pay-per-view?
Oh, yeah, there's the women's and the men's open yeah. slot. I think they'll fill them Friday. Yeah. I think that's a hook for the show, and they need as many hooks for any show as they possibly can. If I were WWE, I would maximize stakes to the best of my ability. I would have done qualifiers. I don't care how many women you got on the roster. You got Von Wagner popping up on the show out of nowhere.
Yeah,
why can't
yeah.
you have NXT women say, here you go, and if you win, you're called up type of thing? I would maximize stakes as much as possible, because there are shows like Raw where the show can have good in-ring work and be decent, but nothing matters. Nothing noteworthy happens. So it's like, why watch? And Rob Wilkins brings up Bret Hart versus Isaac Yankem, SummerSlam 95. There you go.
There you go. Yeah, well, it's funny you talk about that, because I was gonna talk about the whole stakes thing later on. I can't recall. Maybe they've done this in other years, and it all kind of just blends in your head after a while. I can't recall a build for a Survivor Series where they have the team members fight each other every week.
Also, wait, hold on. JJ is saying that they filled some of them on Twitter. I haven't heard that, JJ. What are you talking about? I've been on the air all day. So what am I missing here? Did somebody get added to the men's and women's SmackDown team that I'm missing? Or... should we ban JJ for bad information? Which is going to happen? There you go.
I'm going to leave that one to you. But anyway, can you recall a Survivor Series build where they had the team members fight as part of the build, even though the whole idea is supposed to be, well, you want to win for brand supremacy and you want to win for bragging rights, but we're going to make sure that none of these teams can gel and have cohesion because we're going to have them fight each other before the show. Do you recall that ever being part of the build for Survivor Series?
But I don't remember a lot of the builds for Survivor Series. I think they probably have probably has happened.
Right, right. All right. I mean, you know, we talk about common sense, and I'm a big fan of common sense. Why would Lashley want to hurt Rey Mysterio going into Survivor Series?
Because he hates him. He hates him.
But now you've weakened your team.
Mm.
Yeah. Why would you want to weaken your team going into it doesn't make any sense. It is what it is. Let me ask you this. What are you most looking forward to at Survivor Series? You're probably going to say Roman Big E, I imagine. What are you most looking forward to?
Roman and Big E.
Yeah.
Charlotte and Becky are up there too. Like, I'm really looking forward to them. Okay. I'm really looking forward to them. Well, JJ says, I'm talking about how they filled all of them on Twitter. Now they have open slots. JJ, stop fucking with us, JJ. You dweeb. Stop messing with us, JJ. Go back to the distraction where you belong.
He is right, though. They did announce the teams on Twitter.
That they did.
They did, which was, yeah. So let me ask you this. WWE seems to be very inconsistent when it comes to acknowledging reality and or incorporating it into storyline. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go back decades and, you know, they keep real life stuff under wraps because they could. And so, like, you know, Macho Man, Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth, they're married. No one knows because they don't say so on television. The internet changed things and WWE is kind of forced to pivot because of that. And so, for example, like Mr. McMahon happened as a character because of the Bret Hart Survivor Series incident. And, you know, the information was very public. Bret's on, like, off the record telling all the details. And so they kind of went with it and created Mr. McMahon. But to this day, it feels like WWE is very selective.
Yeah.
When it comes to what they're going to acknowledge and what they're not going to acknowledge, it seems like they will acknowledge things, even though the public is aware of everything. They'll acknowledge things if they think it'll benefit them. So, for example, Becky Lynch and Rollins, remember when they made them a couple on TV and it was sappy and sugary and corny and everybody hated it and couldn't wait for one to turn on the other? They did it because they thought for some reason that it was going to benefit them. But otherwise, they tend to ignore it or they tend to push it off to .com or they push it off to the network and they don't put this stuff on actual television, like on their actual television programming. I think AEW does a much better job of this and referencing what everybody already knows. Like, I'll give you an example. Adam Cole, Britt Baker. Everybody knows they're a couple. That doesn't mean you got to put them together in storyline.
Yes, I agree.
They can, right? They can be doing something completely separate, but everybody knows. So Tony Schiavone will acknowledge, just in a very quick, subtle comment, he'll acknowledge Britt when Adam Cole's out there because everybody knows. AEW recognizes this, it seems, a lot more than WWE does. And the reason I'm even mentioning this is because, so going into Survivor Series, you got Becky Charlotte. I think that match has gotten more play in terms of online than Roman Big E has. And they've had Charlotte and Becky making the media rounds, and they're talking to Sports Illustrated, they're talking to BT Sport, they're talking to all these outlets. Every single outlet is asking them about their relationship and about the backstage incident that occurred. Everybody's asked them about it. It's very obvious that there's a lot of interest in this. Why is it, do you think, that WWE fails to acknowledge things that the fans are very much aware of compared to AEW? And do you think it's because Vince is 76 and he's just always done it that way?
Yeah, I mean, what he says goes. That's it, flat out. Joseph Snark says, Orton and Batista had a no DQ match for the world title on the go-home SmackDown in 05 when both were on Team SmackDown. There you go. There are people who remember that far better than I.
Yeah, me too.
It's just the element of Vince McMahon. He's going to do what he wants to do, not what anybody else wants him to do. And I talked to Drew McIntyre today. He wished there were more stakes in his Survivor Series match. He wished that things were done a little bit different. I want to get into some of these humper chats. Matt Reichiel says, SRS, all things are okay. Headed to Survivor Series Sunday. Excited for Beck Charlotte. Well, buddy, I hope things are okay for you. You're going to a WWE pay-per-view.
But he just proved my point.
Yeah.
Like I think there's more interest or as much interest in Becky Charlotte than there is Roman Big E.
Yeah, because as you mentioned, the element of how much of this is real, how much of this
exactly,
is fake.
Exactly.
We've seen Charlotte get cute and get served a three-piece combo over the last few months. Like we've seen this happen. So like what will happen? Will they be professional? Will they be friends? Will they start to beat each other's ass? How's that going to work? How will that work out? We don't know.
Right.
We've got, let's see, let me try to separate these. J.K. Schwall says, Twitter typically sucks, but seeing the support for Jesse from the wrestling community has been pretty remarkable. Best wishes to her. And Dante sends a nice one that says, shout out to Jesse. Get well soon. A little extra for the Twitter Troll Defense Fund. Hope you do. Hope you feel better soon, SRS. Jesse the Buckeye, good friend of the show, has always been great. He's been a mod for us in the past. Wonderful girl, going through some tough stuff. And it made me very happy to see all the outpouring from AEW. I know Tony Khan reached out to her personally.
That's nice.
A lot of, like, we saw Thunder Rosa, Matt Hardy, Mikey Ruckus, Evil Uno, Big Swole, a lot of people showing her love.
Omega did too.
Yeah, Kenny Omega did. A lot of great stuff. Some Stupid Punk says, finally, I'm here when Jimmy's here. We got to have words with you, Mr. Van, between Fightful Select, the magazine, the various podcast chats, and the phenomenon that is Team Kalix and the merch. I'm flat broke. What am I supposed to do? Well, I'll answer that. Steal someone's credit card. That seems like a rob a bank. Commit identity fraud.
Yeah, mug somebody.
Mug somebody. I mean, that's old school, Jimmy. That's old school. Nobody carries cash on them anymore.
And you're right, they don't, but mug them for their credit card.
Yeah, but I mean, you want them to not know that you have stolen their credit card before you use it, because they're going to call and put a cancel on it.
Pretend to be a cab driver. Okay. And then, have you heard about the scam that they do? Because they do it in big cities, but I don't know if they do it in, you know, Kentucky.
Oh, I'm sure there's like a skimmer or something.
Yeah, that's right. And so they take your personal PIN, and then they go to a machine and they grab all your money. You don't even know it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Joseph Carey is a big fan of the moving graphic WWE posted today for Big E versus Roman. There are a lot of things like that, like the video renders when they do the matchups. Like, bring stuff like that back if it gives fond memories to people. Humper chats give me fond memories. By the way, guys, if you all are jerks in the Humper chats, we're not gonna read them. Like, we're just not. Van Twinblade says, the Acclaimed versus Dante and Leo, Butcher and Blade versus Cassidy and Ishii, Sheeta versus Nyla, Jay Lethal versus Sammy. AEW card looks better than Survivor Series. I mean, I think the Survivor Series card looks really good. Nakamura and Priest, Becky, Charlotte, Big E, Roman, and then the Survivor Series matches. I think the card looks really good, Jimmy.
I mean, next to Becky Charlotte. Becky Charlotte is the match that I think appeals to me the most for a lot of reasons. Roman, Big E, I'm sure it'll be good, but I think the outcome is easy to predict. Shinsuke, Damian Priest next to Becky Charlotte is the match I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah, I think Priest will win, though, because I think he needs to keep winning.
I agree, but it's still going to be a hot match. I really wish they'd get Boogs out of there.
Hey, guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
They've got him on the graphic and everything. You don't need him. And with all due respect to him, I'm glad that he's making a living and everything. He just doesn't fit with Shinsuke Nakamura. He could play the guitar. That's nice.
Yeah.
He doesn't fit with Shinsuke Nakamura at all. Seeing him on the graphic, he doesn't need to be
there. I think he does a little bit. I think he fits in a little bit.
I'm not feeling it. How
do you think Shaquille Maggiore is going to fit in next Tuesday with Fightful? I don't think he's ever been here before.
You know what? Shaq's all right. So I am actually interested in this idea. So he pitched you this idea.
He pitched me this idea similar to the MMA beat format, which had for years that had Mark Ramondi, Luke Thomas, Chuck Mendenhall, Ariel Helwani. He wanted a panel of wrestling media members to talk about some of the, maybe the events of the month, so to speak.
Okay.
And he pitched it to me, and the idea is we're going to do it on Fightful Select, but I want to give people an idea of what they're going to see, if they're going to like it or not, if it's worth them plopping down an extra $5 for it. So it's going to be very, very interesting. He's going to be running it. I'm excited about it. I like the concept. Usually I got Tuesday evenings off, but you know what? You know what? I'm not Triple H, Jimmy. I'll work Tuesdays. It's okay. You all are going to be stuck with a JBL. That's all right. But Denise, Chris Van Vliet, and I will be joining it next week. And I believe we're going to have a rotating cast.
So once a month.
Yes, that's the plan.
Okay, and so the first one's going to be free, but you still have to watch on a Fightful Select, but you can watch it for free?
Yes.
Got it. Okay, and is it only wrestling questions?
Yes, it's going to be wrestling.
All strictly wrestling
questions. No bits, nothing like that. It's not going to be like our jokey time. We're going to try to make it like a pretty serious show.
Really? You're going to try to do that?
That's going to work. Do our best. And I'm going to try to read some of these By God Super Chats. Now we had a couple about the Jay Lethal thing. One was just aberrant trollish bullshit that I'm not going to get into. That was like, Sean always wants African-American representation. And now it's like, come on, guy. That's like trying to bait. It ain't going to work. But IJB says, hi, Sean and Jimmy. Do you think we'll ever get an answer from Tony Khan regarding the issues around Jay Lethal signing, or if it'll just be ignored? Also, thank you for all the great content and hard work by Sean and his team. I think we'll get an answer eventually. Again, to put that out there, I discussed this at length on the Backstage Report podcast. I did not ask this because I've got a conflict of interest. Taylor Hendricks is my friend. She worked with Fightful and has for about 2 years. And there wasn't much of a way for me to ask without it directing attention right at the person and sending some stuff their way because of where they work. That being said, Taylor has been wonderful through this situation. She has been understanding that we cover the news, that I'm going to cover the show objectively. If you guys want to learn more about the issues surrounding that, they're, we have articles on the site that we ran as they occurred, and you can kind of catch up on it there. But I don't want to cast like an angry light on someone over that. But I think eventually somebody will ask and we'll get an answer. I thought that would happen this week. Wish I could have been the one, but you got to understand there is a conflict of interest there. And I'm not afraid to say there's a conflict of interest. And as I said, I'd much rather make an effort to be a good person than a good journalist. I don't call myself a journalist. Don't give a damn if you think I'm one. If this affects the way that you view us in that regard, I get it. There's a lot of great wrestling products out there that you can kind of choose in that vein. But I think he'll eventually answer it, Jimmy.
I didn't expect anything as part of the Full Gear Scrum
from
you or anyone else, because it was, first appearance. There was a big, just overwhelming sense of positivity about the show itself. I just didn't expect it. And it is what it is. I don't blame you. I like to stay out of this journalism stuff, and I trust your judgment. And I understand what you're saying about the conflict of interest. So I thought you handled it the right way. Tony Khan, again, we give him credit. He does seem able to kind of read the room and stuff. And he doesn't seem like he's afraid to tackle the hard topics when required.
Yeah. Sometimes he does get a little, I don't want to say needlessly aggressive, but aggressive to criticism sometimes, which, hey, pot calling the kettle black here. Chris says, popped huge for Jay Lethal when he appeared at Full Gear. Would pop even more if the Briscoes showed up in AEW. I don't know where they stand on that. I did ask Tony Khan twice last week about that, and somebody finally picked it up. Giraffe on Wheels says, SRS, I swear if you don't keep if you don't keep switching your shirt color, I'm going to have a breakdown. Oh, Jesus.
Why are you doing that? Is that doing that just because?
Because it's funny. Because I sat down before and I looked at the screen and I was like, Camilla, why is my shirt gray? And we didn't even realize I still had a green screen filter applied from the Halloween episode weeks ago. I just never had anything green on.
Right. So now you're just basically popping yourself now.
Yeah. Yeah. I told Camilla I was going to do it before the show, but right. That was it. And you didn't notice it at all.
No, I'm too busy like looking at my notes and too busy looking at other stuff.
Jesus. Well, Giraffe on Wheels says, actual question. When do you think Hangman Danielson match goes down? I think it'll be their first Dynamite on TBS, Jimmy.
Yeah. When is that? January what?
Beginning of January, whatever that was.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I do question putting the big matches on Rampage, and I've been vocal about that. I question putting the big matches on Rampage when you're going to get 500,000 or 600,000 viewers. But Dynamite is their flagship, and so that makes sense. And they're definitely, as we've mentioned, they're not shy about putting big matches on television. So
yeah,
makes sense that that's where they'll go.
Hannah says she thought she was having a stroke when it changed. No, me and Camille were talking before this. Like, look, there's like no clipping. Look, I'm going to change it right now.
Yeah,
there's no clipping on this.
No,
it looks wonderful.
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%.
Like
yeah.
You would never guess that this wasn't just a gray shirt, right?
Yeah, no, and I never noticed. Awesome. Let's
hold on. We got some more
Humberchats. Okay, go ahead.
Humberchats.com.
So get
some stupid punk says on the reel. I want to thank you both and the whole Fightful crew. The last month was a nightmare. My stepmom passed from COVID. My old man had surgery. Now my mom and stepdad have COVID. But a lot of you have really helped to distract me. JJ shout. Hey, thank you so much for that. You've always been super awesome in our chat. And it says a lot about you as a person. I bet your parents are happy as a person they raised. And I'm sorry that you're going through all this. But hey, we can get through it together because we're all talking about something we enjoy. We got Rob Reed saying, though I'm much less interested in this, much like Becky or the Punk Kingston promo, it only took one Becky promo to get people more invested in her match with Charlotte than any other match on the show. You hear it and you go, oh yeah, that's the Becky Lynch that we missed. That's the one that we needed. That's the one that got super, super over. And it definitely helps.
It definitely helps, but let's be honest. If we found out today, oh hey, Roman and Big E had a backstage incident. Don't tell me people aren't watching Survivor Series. Here we go. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Of course. Could you imagine Big E, the nicest guy in the
history? I'm just saying, like you can't tell me that when word of that incident got out, that definitely helped with the pro with the
but also I say Big E the nicest guy of all time. Look at Batista now. If you told me it like 15 years ago, oh, Batista and Booker T are going to fight. I believe that Booker T was going to fight. He can sometimes be a little more abrasive with his opinions, but Batista is known as like one of the easiest dudes to get along with.
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah. William Banta says, Sean, thank you for being open about the Lethal situation. It's a very complicated matter, but thank you so much for addressing it and clarifying it with us. I mean, I've made it clear. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. Our site will be fine. Without asking him questions at a media scrum and without interviewing him, I made this clear to ROH before as well, and they were fine with it. They understood. And Taylor is a part of our site. I don't know Jay. I've had nothing but positive experiences with him interpersonally. It's not a personal condemnation. It's us looking after one of our staff members and our friends, and got a problem with that. I get it, but thank you guys. Hope you guys understood. Wish I would have approached the explanation a little bit better when I did, but it was a fast and furious weekend in that sense. I'm going to save the Kenny Omega stuff because we're going to be talking about that. But
yep.
Some stupid punk says, what am I supposed to do? Not give money to Fightful Select with all of its amazing content, exclusive interviews, breaking news, and charming hosts? I have to be brain dead to not give you my money. If only I made as much as Jimmy Vans pays SRS. Should be more. Oh, Anakin Lord. Says, is this the worst WWE pay-per-view build of all time? Genuinely can't think of a worse one.
There have been lots of bad pay-per-view builds. There have been lots.
For the sake of hype, it ain't good. It ain't good, but I feel like I've seen some worse. But it's in my head, it's hard for me to quit, just immediately be like, bam, that one was worse. Bam, that one was worse. And I think we've caught up on our super chats, but now we're going to go to genetic ghost, who says, if Kenny was this good while he was horribly banged up, imagine him closer to 100%. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah. It reminds me of when Joe Rogan would marvel about Brock Lesnar supposedly being at 60% when he had diverticulitis.
A surgically removed butthole, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, it's because Rogan used to say that. And, you know, I learned something new today. I learned about Napperpath.
Ooh.
Did not know what that was.
Yeah.
And it's good to learn. So let's talk about Kenny Omega. So there's a guy by the name of Dr. Bo Hightower.
Yes.
He is the director of sports medicine at Jackson Winklejohn.
Does stuff with Miro, with Lana, with all kinds of wrestlers.
Right. So he's got a YouTube channel where he posts himself treating, like you said, celebrities and athletes. And he posted one with Kenny Omega. So he's a naturopath. And the way that's different from a chiropractor is that they focus less on the spine and less on manipulating joints and more on the overall general treatment of muscles and joints.
Yeah.
And he's also a believer of holistic as well, holistic medicine. So Kenny Omega does this video with Dr. Hightower where he's getting treatment. And as part of the video, he admits that he has had vertigo since 2018. If you're not familiar with vertigo, it's basically when you feel dizzy and the room spins. He's had it since 2018, and he said that he has even experienced it in the ring. And here's one quote from Kenny Omega. He said, I get dizzy in the ring. The room spins. It's been a new skill I've had to inherit, which is wrestling in a spinning ring. Now, I want to make two points about this. First and foremost, I'd like to know if Tony Khan was aware of this. And if so, I'd like to know how long he's been aware of it, because with all due respect to Kenny Omega, great in the ring. Wrestling with vertigo, you're not just putting your own health at risk, you're putting the health of your opponent at risk too.
So I wrestled with vertigo.
You
did MMA with vertigo. Yes, I did. I didn't realize that I had vertigo for a very, very long time. They got it taken care of. There were some sort of exercises. You clean your ears regularly. You do balance exercises, breathe. There's a lot of different stuff you can do. I was not wrestling or competing at the level that Kenny Omega was, but there were things like somebody would go high crotch on a single leg and I'd go up against the wall and my balance was off. And I would be fighting off a takedown against somebody who was working against me. Fortunately, when it was in a pro wrestling ring, people were working with me. So they would know it kind of spins a little bit, but I didn't know quite what I was dealing with. I wonder how far into this Kenny Omega realized what it is that he was dealing with. Because when you first get it, there is this element of, whoa, what the hell is this? Or it. Is this normal? Like, did I get a concussion? Did I get this? Did I get that? And I'm sure he's dealt with concussions as I have too. But then when it hits you really, really hard, it is terrifying. And it's, holy crap, am I ever going to be the same again? And then you start to realize, okay, it's not going to be nonstop. And there are ways to kind of limit that. But I can't imagine wrestling at the level that Kenny Omega is with that. And there's really no way to predict it either.
I know two people that deal with bouts of it because it comes and goes. And I know two people that deal with it. One of them happens to be my mother. And whenever she gets a bout of vertigo, she has to hold the wall because you feel like you're going to drop at any moment because things are spinning so fast. So she's got to hold the wall. So like you said, the fact that Kenny Omega, and this is going to be my second point, the fact that he could not only wrestle with vertigo, but wrestle is one of the best at it, one of the best at his craft. That's absolutely remarkable that he was able to wrestle. He had like match of the year candidates consistently year after year. And to think he did it with vertigo, it's remarkable. And so
very impressive.
It is. Hopefully he's getting treated. Dave Meltzer reports that he is being medically evaluated today, November 17. Not only has he been experiencing vertigo, but apparently he's got a shoulder injury as well. And so Meltzer says he's getting medically evaluated and he might need to take a break from wrestling. you know what? If anybody has earned it over the last year, it's Kenny Omega. You look at AEW since their inception. Year one, Chris Jericho was the MVP, and there's no question. There's no way you can say that anybody but Jericho helped get them off the ground in year one. Year two, Kenny Omega was the man. And the Forbidden Door and all the great matches and everything that he's done, he is more than deserving of a break. If he even wants a break, you know what I mean? Sometimes they just want to keep going, but he's more than deserving of it. So best of luck to him.
Yeah. We've got Daniel R saying, you get to make an AEW gimmick match. What is it? I would love something that includes elements of TLC and a cage, because when I've seen like a ladder worked into a cage match, it works out really well. But yeah.
Did I ever tell you, and I don't know if I should say this on the air, but I say what I want. Did I ever tell you about Justin Roberts' idea for a gimmick match?
No.
So years ago, he told me this. It was a reverse, I believe it was a reverse battle royal where you had to either exit under the bottom rope, or you had to throw your opponent out under the bottom rope, or or you started on the floor and whoever was last on the floor won. It was one or the other. It's one of the other.
Interesting. That's a reverse battle royal, and it's terrible.
And I remember he tried it, I believe, on an independent show, and I think it was one and done, I believe.
Man. Yeah, I would imagine. So the reverse battle royal didn't go well. Some stupid punk says, last chat, I swear. No, please keep sending us these Humper Chats at humperchat.com. Full Gear was kind of sad. I've now had ringside seats to two Double or Nothings, one Full Gear, a Dynamite and Rampage, all of which were moved and all of which were traveling shows for me from San Francisco. AEW hates me. Well, Tony said, oh, we're doing Revolution, obviously. See you guys then. And I said, oh, do you want to tell us where we're traveling to? And he said, it'll be a short trip for some of you. So, Jimmy, he's running it at the Ewing Fairgrounds. You want to know something interesting? So I've told you about my small town.
Uh-huh.
Randy Savage used to wrestle like a mile from me.
Did he?
ICW. They used to run the fairgrounds in my town.
What would they draw?
I don't know. I wonder, like, I mean, I would imagine they got Maysville and they got, like, some of the bigger towns and cities to come there. I don't know if they did it during the fair or something like that. I mean, that would make sense too.
Might have been a sold show.
Yeah. Drew Nicholas says Omega should get a year off. I think he deserves it. And AEW won't be hurt by him taking the time off. I hope TK gives it to him. He ain't taking a year off. That won't happen.
No, and I think it's his decision too.
Yeah.
So
that will not happen.
He's going to do what the doctor tells him, but if you know, he's probably going to want to get back as soon as he can, I imagine.
Oh, I already read that one. But Kalen says, thoughts on Hangman being a possible transitional champion. I hate that people are already talking about that. To me, you see the reaction. How is the reaction going to be leading up to his next match? Then you decide. You go with the way that the wind blows and the reactions go. And I think that helps an awful lot, Jimmy.
I think him and Brian is a good test.
Yeah.
Because not only is Brian going to test him in the ring, but he's going to test the crowd reactions too. So Brian is a good test. And I don't know if Tony Khan, you know, kind of did that intentionally, wanting to kind of test Paige against a guy like Brian Danielson, but that he's a great test. And we'll know more after that match.
Anakin says, shows the strength of AEW booking. Moxley gone for an unknown period of time. Omega possibly needing to take a break. And there are multiple people ready to feud with Hangman. They're like eight deep at the top of their card. I mean, it's fantastic. But you know what? If you want to have some depth in your pants, if you want that championship performance, BlueChew.com, code Fightful is here to help. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. But they work on your schedule or when you're not on your schedule. Maybe when you don't have that performance. Maybe when you don't have that confidence, Blue Chew gives it to you. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. You don't have to wait in line at the doctor's office. You take their questionnaire online, and when you are prescribed, it ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so everybody won't be like, oh my God, look at these dick pills. It's not going to happen like that. Prescribed online, shipped straight to your door. No need for the doctor's office. You speak with their physicians online, and you get your first shipment free. Free. Just pay $5 shipping. That's that hush money for the mailman. Blue Chew, code Fightful.
Did you see the clip? And I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to remember who the woman was. Laura Ingraham. Did you see that clip?
Yeah, there are debates on whether or not that was a bit.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch, obviously, I don't watch that.
I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah. So there's rumors that it's a bit. But hey, if it is a bit, she played it off very well. Because she has done plenty of things to make me feel like she is as stupid.
So it felt legitimate initially, but at the end when the guy said, it's a show on Netflix called You, and her response was, oh, okay, so there's a show on Netflix called Laura Ingraham. That's when I thought, you're in on it now, because he made it pretty clear. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree. So,
but otherwise, it was interesting.
Van Twinblade says, Sean, if you're going to be in St. Louis for the Rumble, you got to get Ted Drews and go to Crown Candy and get the 1 pound BLT, 1 pound of bacon, and the shakes or some of those mass metal cups. I'm trying to eat better. Like, what are you doing to me, man? That sounds insane. I don't know. If WWE does media, I'll be there. I was going to be there this Saturday for Survivor Series media, but I didn't find out until a little bit too close to time. So I will not be there, in fact, but I'll be here with you guys on Sunday talking Survivor Series. I did the prediction show as well with Carissa Lopez, so make sure you guys check that out. And we've got Drew McIntyre here on Friday with the information coming to Fightful Select even before then. How about that?
Awesome. Let's talk about Cody Rhodes because someone asked us if we were going to mention this. So obviously Twitter provides a lot of benefit, but it can also provide a very toxic environment. Cody Rhodes. Well, I'm going to mention that too. High level. So Cody deleted his Twitter. Apparently he's going to focus on Instagram. And when you've got Sean Ross Sapp posting a picture of himself and some friends having a meal, and someone finds reason to shit on something as innocent as that, that's when you know how toxic a place Twitter can be. And when it comes to Cody Rhodes, I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of WWE loyalists that are very anti-AEW, and they're threatened by AEW, and they want to see AEW fail. And so Cody Rhodes is taking a lot of heat. I've seen some of the messages, you know, calling him mid-carder for life and all this crap. And, you know, so he did what he had to do. And I think he was getting a lot of unwarranted hate, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's just the nature of social media, unfortunately.
Yeah.
There are people who do not touch grass. They do not have personal relationships. They do not have physical relationships. And they take that out. Some of them just are miserable people. And they take that out on other people that aren't miserable. So
100%. Yeah. And you know, that picture of you when you know, someone was shitting on you. I was talking to Sean off the air. I said, that person is incredibly jealous of your situation. That's all it is.
You've seen some of the stuff that I've gotten over the past few months, especially. And
yeah,
admittedly, it's made me not comfortable in my own skin. I can't post pictures of my wife on social media anymore. I post pictures with other friends that are women, and people are like, what's going on there?
Yep.
Not realizing my wife was golfing with these people like 3 weeks ago, has met these people. There are, you know, we go to dinner and there's hate there. And like, I've got what, a 10% of the following that he does on Twitter. Like, I'm not on cable TV every week. I don't have a reality show. Like, this is all angles. Like, people, like, just, that's why I keep saying, like, be a normal person. Like, be a normal person, and please call out fucking weird behavior if you see it. Like, don't let people think that that's okay to be weird. It's just, it's so demented.
I bet if you went to every Impact taping, you'd be on television every week.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I specifically asked not to be. And Melissa, Melissa, who has been on screen a handful of times, can confirm people on the internet are weird. Like, I mean, her future husband was on a vlog one time and got comments. Like, it is
Yeah, that's where we live in. Let's move on. I want to talk about something about Lady Frost. This kind of stuff, I think WWE really has to button this stuff up.
Yeah, they sure do.
And this is the problem when, you know, a lot of the stuff that WWE does is not directly overseen by certain people of authority. And so they kind of leave responsibilities up to certain officials, you know, that don't have to directly report to certain people. And that's when sure. liberties can happen. And this is stuff they have to button up as a corporate entity. So Sean Ross Sapp interviewed Lady Frost. She said that she got a tryout in WWE in 2018. She had a match with Asuka. She said it went well. She was optimistic about getting an offer. And then she says that a WWE official told her later that she was too old to get an offer. She was in her 30s at the time of the tryout.
Early 30s,
yeah. Early 30s. So she said she was told by a WWE official that she was too old. Now, look, ageism is a thing. And there have been a lot of stories in Hollywood. I don't know if we talked before about the Anne Hathaway one. Anne Hathaway did an interview, and she said, the roles that I get offered are for women like 20 years older than me. And mm-hmm. the roles going, you know, for a character my age, they're going to women 15 years younger than me.
Wild.
Yeah, like ageism.
Meanwhile, like I brought this up, like my wife and I watch, never have I ever, it's a show on Netflix. And they got a 30-year-old man playing a 17-year-old boy.
Right.
Like, yeah, there ain't enough actors that are teenagers. I don't understand it. Like, the approaches to some of this are just wild.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's one thing for it to exist, and that's bad enough in and of itself. It's another thing for a company official representing a public company to say this to a prospective employee or to a prospective independent contractor, because that's flat out discrimination. And obviously if Lady Frost wanted to, and if she had proof, she can make life tough on WWE. Obviously she's not going to do that. She might not have proof, but this is the kind of stuff that they really need to button up. And again, when you're in a situation where there are people with authority, but they don't report directly to the boss's boss, this shit goes on. And you see it in all walks. This is not just a WWE issue. You see this in other sports. You see it in all entertainment and music and everything. But it's something that as a corporate entity, they really need to try to button up.
I mean, Steve Martin had gray hair since he was 12, played a dad until he was 60, and then went on Cheaper by the Dozen too. They were like, you're a grandpa now. He's like, you know, I think I'm just not going to make as many movies anymore. Like, if they can make it work for him, they can make it work for other people. And does anybody watching WWE Raw say, Damian Priest is 39? Right. No, they look at him and they go, man, he's a cool dude.
Right.
He is a very cool dude. By the way, I believe that's the most watched Lady Frost interview ever. It is a very, very good one. 47 minutes of her talking WWE, Ring of Honor, NWA, Impact, all kinds of stuff. Rob Reed says, it shocked me to find out that the poster for All Out 2019 told us the first four champions in succession, their first pay-per-view right before their TV deal. So I asked Tony Khan at the media scrum, I was like, hey, was there ever any consideration to Hangman Page being that first champion? And he said, nope, it was always going to be Jericho. And then it was always going to be Moxley. And then it was always going to be Omega. And then it was always going to be Hangman. And when somebody said, do you know who 5 and 6 are? He wouldn't answer. But part of me maybe doubted that. And then I saw that poster and I was like, oh my gosh, that is impressive.
It's good to have a plan.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Mr. CJ Lilly says, guys, talking about the Twitter toxic stuff, I see the amount of stuff Alexa gets when she's the nicest person ever. It's got to stop. Be better. Be kind. Please, if you see weirdos being weirdos, say, hey, man, stop being so weird. Man, woman, child, anybody. Like, tell them they're being weird. Josh Cardenas says, SRS, what do you think of Charlie Cruel, a Kentucky girl? I always pull for anybody from Kentucky. I got to see some of her AEW work. I'm not as familiar with her work outside of AEW, but she's got a great look and an approach that will definitely appeal to a certain demographic of people that like that type of thing. So I think that's really good. Austin says, do you think AEW overlooked some of Jay Lethal's past in order to address his lack of representation? Not trolling, something I've been wondering. I definitely think that may have been a part of it, but there are no shortage of outstanding black talent out there right now. There is a lot, from Shane Taylor Promotions to Jonathan Gresham to Keith Lee. Like, there's a lot out there right now.
I'm sure that they're probably looking at, I mean, you know, obviously he's a veteran. He's trained a lot of people.
Trained Dominic.
And he's, did he train Dominic? That's right.
He trained with Dominic. He talked about it in my interview, FightfulMag.com.
That's right. And obviously he's got a wealth of experience. Like, I can understand reasons why they'd want him there, especially given all the young guys on the roster that they have. If, you know, I can understand why they'd want a veteran like that. But like you said, Tony, I guess, is going to have to address that stuff at some point.
Yes, he will. We also have a super chat from Kurt Benoit that says, Saturday night, high as a kite, sitting on my balcony, waiting for the full gear review to start, wondering who would host it. At 5 a.m. Irish time, I screamed, Jeremy Lambert, yo! Walking my neighbors. Also, William Washington of Grapsody. If you all aren't checking that show out on Saturdays, do it. But if you want more of Jeremy Lambert, twitch.com/FightfulGaming and youtube.com/FightfulDistraction. He's doing all kinds of work, but keep getting those Humper chats in, guys. Really liking that. Lots of love here. And we'll be live right after this show for The List Goes On, Jimmy, on Fightful Select.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on this next one because I feel like this is a rib. So Ric Flair's got a new podcast. It's called Woo Nation Uncensored.
Oh, boy.
And it's with your best friend, Mark Madden. And the first episode just dropped, and Flair talked about... Now, keep in mind, Ric Flair is going to be 73 in February, all right? And he almost passed away from a serious illness. He's going to be 73 in February. He talked about having one more match. And here's a quote from the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. He said, that talk hasn't happened, but could I do it? Absolutely. I'm in better shape now than I was when Sting and I wrestled the last match on Nitro.
I don't believe that. There's
no chance that I could see Ric Flair. Number one, no one's ever going to clear him.
No,
maybe one of these celebrity fighting guys.
By the time that he would be able to do it, 73 years old.
Right.
And I mean, we've seen some 70 something year olds go out there and do it, like Bullet Bob, I think, and Gypsy Joe, but those weren't exactly like the peak of work. You know what I mean?
And Gypsy Joe almost got killed, you know, by New Jack.
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And Ric Flair, let's see. It has been a decade now, over a decade since he last wrestled Sting in TNA.
Right.
A decade.
Yeah.
This isn't like, oh, well, he was a little bit removed. I mean, he took a year and a half off after his WWE retirement and got right back in there and started to wrestle. Over 10 years. Redmond says, NWA would probably book him. Yeah, probably would.
Do you need, is Georgia a state where they're governed by an athletic commission?
I don't know.
Okay, because that's where they'd be looking. They'd be looking in a state where there is no sanctioning.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
But, yeah, I don't know about that one. Okay, this next one I want to mention because I've got a somewhat of a personal connection. So Booker T was on the Battleground podcast. He said that he wants to pay tribute to the late Sherry Martel, the sensational yes. Sherry, in his promotion, Reality of Wrestling. He said he's going to create the Sherry Martel Classic. I presume it's a tournament because that's typically what a classic is in pro wrestling. Now, in the next issue of Fightful Magazine, the January-February issue of Fightful Magazine, I wrote an article about meeting Sherry Martel. A good 20 years ago now, I had the opportunity to spend time with her over the course of a weekend at an independent show, got to know her a bit, talked to her about family, about her son, about her demons, about her injuries, lots of stuff. And she was the coolest person, the most down-to-earth, coolest person who also took no shit from anybody. And it was the first time in my life, Sean, that I stood for 10 minutes and watched somebody have a conversation in Kearney.
Really?
Have you ever been able to witness that?
No.
You know what that is, right?
Yeah, of course. I know what that is.
I stood for like 10 minutes. She was talking to one of the Bushwhackers and George the Animal Steel. And I stood there for 10 minutes and watched her have a conversation in Kearney. And she was fluent, like whipping it out like this.
Wow.
And I just stood there watching it, trying to like catch most of what they were saying. It was fascinating. And so check that out. And speaking of Fightful Magazine, the current issue is now out. The November-December issue. Darby Allin is on the cover. Shaza McKenzie did the Wrestler's Tribune. I don't see the overlay because I guess Camillo forgot. There he is. Oh, okay. That's the cover. That's fine. So Darby Allin's on the cover. Shaza McKenzie wrote the Wrestler's Tribune. There's an exclusive interview with Dominic Mysterio. Lots of other good stuff, but I can't read the bullets because the overlay's not up. But go to FightfulMag.com and you can get the November-December issue now. And yeah, we have the January-February issue almost finished. And, there you go. How about that? Tribute to Daphne Younger.
You're welcome.
Tribute to After Younger by Taylor Hendricks. The Return of Becky Lynch. Great article by Jack Goodwillie. Lots of good stuff in that issue. So check that out. FightfulMag.com. You can get it in print or digital. Available now.
Also, we have a Humper chat, I believe, from Some Super Punk that says, can't wait for Athena, the former Ember Moon. Please, Tony, get Athena. She and Ruby were the two women I wanted in AEW at the start of the company when my buddy asked if I would move any women over. That's my last chat, I swear, probably. Well, it shouldn't be. You should send more. But for the last 2 years, Jimmy, I was constantly asked on our Q&A show, FightfulSelect.com. We'll have one up this week. Who I would send from WWE over to AEW that they need the most. I thought they needed Ember Moon the most for a variety of reasons. More diverse representation, more veterans on the roster, good in-ring workers, somebody that can, or a place that can fulfill her potential a little bit more. If they don't feel comfortable with her promo ability, they'll put a manager with her. Like they, I think that she, it would be a much better fit in AEW than she was in WWE.
Oh, she'd be a better fit anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, WWE didn't really let her do anything, so she'd be a better fit anywhere. From a selfish perspective, I would love to see Charlotte Flair, or I guess she'd have to be Ashley Fleer. I'd love to see her in AEW.
I mean, she could be, just pronounce it Flair, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see her in AEW. The dynamic, I mean, her and Britt Baker, fire. Fire her and Britt Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Then you've got Adam Cole and Andrade. Man, they could do so much stuff. So from a selfish perspective, I would love to see Charlotte Flair in AEW, and I'm sure it's in the back of her mind. Sure it is.
I think that would be a big one, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
I think it's right.
Possible.
I Britt Baker, I mean, you talk about the benefit of a heel turn.
Oh,
She is elite, man. She's elite. Every even, all the little things, you know, having the girls put the glove on her hand. All
would
the
you
little.
Say she's all elite.
Cute.
Tune into our AEW Dynamite review tonight after AEW Dynamite.
That's why you're in your chair, Sean. That's why you're in your chair.
I know.
Wearing
a green shirt can change colors.
Yeah.
Also, I did an AEW full gear review on Fightful Select as well. We are heading down the home stretch of this show, so get your Humper chats in. ShotKid29 says, to end on a cheery note, and speaking of women's wrestling, are there any lesser known names in particular you guys think will be a breakout star? Yeah, I've said for years now, I think about 2 years, that I think Jody Threat will be very, very good. I think Roxy will emerge. I mean, and I beat that drum for Deonna Purrazzo for a long time, too. I thought she was going to be a breakout star, and I've been very happy that she has become one. But I think Jody Threat is one that could have a really, really nice approach.
Is Santino's daughter working actively?
Bianca? I don't know, but okay. I'll see.
Because she's got the genetics and the aesthetic that WWE would jump on her pretty quick.
Willow Nightingale, as somebody says. Willow Nightingale is one that I broke some news on. She's heading out of MLW and ROH. Trisha Dora, I think she's going to do really, really well as well. There's a lot of good ones. Lady Frost, I think, is going to do really well. She signed long-term with Impact Wrestling, and she works a high-flying style that a lot of women don't work. So. Yeah.
Is Rock's daughter still training?
Simone, she had knee surgery last year, and I haven't heard anything since.
Okay. I was going to say, you want to talk about red carpet door open. Simone Johnson, more than anybody in the business.
Oh, yeah. I think so as well. I mean, she seems to be well-liked there.
And it seems like she wants to be her own person. She's not relying on the name of her dad. So
we won't know until that happens. It'd be kind of hard to ignore that name.
No,
right?
but whenever you see her do media, she's not like, "Hi, Rock's my dad, Dwayne Johnson's daughter."
Yeah,
you know what I mean, she's trying to be her own person.
I mean, you look at her in the face and you can kind of tell.
Oh yeah, dead ringer.
Nerd Guru says, longer term ROH fan, Lethal will do great in AEW. Great pickup for AEW representation. Plus one. I think he'll do well there. I think compared to his ROH style, he'll probably need to speed it up a little bit more as well.
I mean, some of the guys they got on that roster, man.
Yeah.
You know, put him in there with Dante Martin or you know, even Rey Fénix.
Absolutely.
Like, better have your working boots on with some of those kids.
Absolutely. You know? What else you got?
Well, we're going to go to FightfulSelect.com. We're going to talk about Brock Lesnar. We're going to talk about Randy Orton. We're going to talk about the NWA and a couple other things. So FightfulSelect.com, list goes on. That's where we're headed.
If you watch Survivor Series this weekend, guys, I want to encourage you guys, play WrestleRumble.com. Those fellas specifically behind it helped us out of a pretty tough jam a couple months ago in Chicago, so I want to give them some love. Make your predictions over there. Win real money, and it's not just straightforward predictions. It's predicting like how long matches will go, what will happen in the matches. WrestleRumble.com. Hit them up at WrestleRumble on Twitter. Let them know you heard about them from us. And, of course, follow our friend Destiny FOMO, twitter.com/DestinyFOMO. She supports us greatly. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.